Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. As always, I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining me today is a good friend of mine. You probably know him as our empowering pastor, Jimmy George. Hey, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Jimmy, I'm glad you're here. I think this is going to be a fun morning. I'm looking forward to just spending some time with you. Maybe getting a good laugh in here and there, but also, just talking through some things that hopefully will equip our leaders. So, just thanks for being here. So, Jimmy, you're one of the most personable pastors at Relevant. I think that all of our leaders, everyone listening, should know who you are, especially because over the last couple weeks, you've given a couple sermons. So you've been on stage, so really nobody's got a good excuse of not knowing who you are. But many of our leaders know you. In fact, many have a relationship with you. I think you might even have a relationship with more people within Relevant than anybody else. But I thought it'd be fun to start our time today with you just kind of sharing with all of us something that maybe none of us know. What's something about Jimmy George that nobody knows?
Yeah. Oh, wow. First, I have no idea what I'm doing. Every day I wake up thinking, what am I doing here? I have no idea what I'm doing, but...
don't we all?
Yeah, I know. Gosh, let's see. I've never seen Star Wars. That kind of shocks people, but I tried. Just can't get into that weird stuff, but...
Wait. So you've never seen Star Wars? Like, you've never seen any of them? You've never seen...
I've watched 3 minutes probably of the first one that was released back in like 1920, whenever it came out. Like, that's the one that I've seen. I've seen 10 minutes of it and I couldn't do it. Not even my kids could do it. So I've never seen that one, but okay. Never seen that. I don't know. I think since we're doing a podcast here today, I figured I'd talk about a podcast that I was a part of years and years ago. My friends and I from Bible college, we enjoy house music and techno music and all that good stuff keeps me going. But we had started a podcast where we'd create like 60-second musical tracks for people. Not 60-second, 60-minute ones. And anyway, it took off and it went all over the world. We had thousands and thousands of followers. And that just abruptly ended one day because my friend decided he was sick of uploading things to iTunes every week. So it's
thousands
done.
Of thousands of followers.
Yeah. All over the world. It was kind of crazy.
What were some of the topics? What were some of the things you...
Well, it was all music. So it's like the beat music. It's the music that drives Pastor Matt crazy because it's repetitive. But I could get on a treadmill and run for days listening to that kind of stuff. So it was just trance music. I had a DJ name, R81. I have to tell you about that someday. But so yeah, it was a good time, but it's done.
All right. Well,
did you know that about me?
I didn't know that about you. I do know that you like techno music.
I do.
One of the little joys in working in an office with you is sometimes you'll pull your headphones off and walk away. And, those of us sitting around your desk get to enjoy the little beat that's going on sitting from your headphones that it's like we shouldn't be able to hear that. But
I'm generous.
But we can feel it, And so, I love that. That is a little something I learned about you that I didn't know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, yeah, feel like I know you just a little bit more today than I have. But, I wanted you to come on this podcast for a reason, Jimmy. And truth is, we have a conversation or we have a topic today that I feel like our leaders can really benefit from. And you and I have had a lot of conversations, over the last year about this particular topic. And so I thought, who better than you to come join the podcast? So over the past year, we've really focused on extreme ownership and how to lead with extreme ownership. As I was thinking about 2023, this next year, what would be best to equip our leaders with? One thing I did was I asked all of our paid staff to give me feedback on what do they think are some topics, some different things that we could equip our leaders in, that we could train our leaders in to make them better leaders. And one topic that kept coming up was overcommitment. I don't think any of our leaders are sitting around saying, man, I wish I had more to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have much on my calendar.
Well,
just...
Pastor Ronnie might be thinking that.
Yeah, he wakes up at 5 a.m. to get going because he just doesn't have enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all live overcommitted lives. But before we really get into the topic, I think it'd be really good for us to define what overcommitment is. And so, Jimmy, you know, give it your best shot. How would you define overcommitment?
Oh, that's a great topic. But I know why our paid staff would say that. I think overcommitment is something that kind of haunts all of us, if you think about it. I would say if I was to define overcommitment, I would probably say it's related to our capacity in all things, but then going beyond that capacity, which we all do. I mean, it's easy to go above and beyond with our capacity and overstretch ourselves. But I think when people think about overcommitment, they kind of probably immediately think about their time. Like I've actually committed myself to too many things, and so it's taking more time than I really have.
Sure.
I think that's probably highly related. I mean, it is highly related to our capacity and our being overcommitted, but it's also accepting commitments and responsibilities that are beyond our capacity. I think a lot of people are always asking us for help. They ask each other for help. And in our desire to please them, we say yes, sometimes without even checking back with what our commitments already are and our responsibilities. And so
sure.
I think that has something to do with it. But something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and you and I have talked about this, like you said, over the past year or so, in different conversations, is the word budget. I think we all have budgets. We should have budgets. Not a lot of people. I mean, there's people that don't create budgets, but we all have a certain amount of money that that we have been given. And I think it's you can overcommit yourself and overstretch yourself with your budget. But we also have relational budgets. I don't think I think that sometimes people don't realize that you only have so much relational budget as well, meaning you can't be friends with everybody. I think according to Facebook, you can be, but we can't really know and be known by everybody. And so we can overcommit when it comes to our relational budgets and our emotional budgets. What are we taking on from other people as well? But I think that capacity is a big part of defining what overcommitment is and whether or not we go above and beyond our capacity.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you know, when I think of budgets, I think of, this might be an oversimplification, but, you know, what do we get to spend?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get to spend our resources, our finances, our relationships, our emotions we get to spend. And it's just funny because you think of like when you've done too much, when you've gone over budget, people say, man, I'm spent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all have limited amounts to give. And so, you know, when we're overcommitted, we've given too much.
Yeah. And sometimes people like you think that when you run out of budget, you just stop, but you don't. You actually start going into debt. Some people start using other people's resources and then getting themselves in bondage to that. It kind of makes me, this whole overcommitment thing makes me think about my son, my oldest son. His name is also Jimmy. He's the third. I'm a junior. My dad's a senior. He's 13. And he's a great leader at school. He's a part of a basketball team. He plays for a local select basketball team here in Elkhorn and does a great job there. This last year, he not only was he in his Elkhorn Attack basketball team, he was also part of the middle school basketball team. And he loves to play the piano, so he's taking piano lessons. And then he got asked to play piano for show choir and then this high school thing. And then he joined honor band. And but as he's doing all these things, he seemed to be getting lower and lower and lower emotionally, and he's kind of turning into somebody that he's not. And so after my wife and I put the other two kids to bed, we finally had him sit on the couch like, hey, what's going on in your life? Like, what is bothering you? And he would probably would hate if I told everybody this, but he just burst out in tears and he goes, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why. I just feel so tired and I'm worn out and all this stuff. And so we started looking at his commitments that he himself made and had to decide like, okay, what can you do the best? So he was overcommitted and it kind of started to mess with his mind a little bit as well. So
yeah, that's good. And you said he's 13?
He's 13.
13. We start young, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. We fill up our lives. We do everything we can. We put as much in there. And so often it's good. You know, you talking about your son makes me think about my oldest, mm-hmm. Jacob. Mm-hmm. He's 15. So he so proud of him. Just love all the things that he does. He's student staff leader at YU and has leadership roles there. And so I'm excited. I love that he desires to influence other people. He also serves in Rooted on Sunday afternoons, small group leader as a high schooler for middle school students. Mm. Sunday mornings, he's a small group leader in Relevant Kids. And so, you know, there's three leadership roles right there. As a church, we have a partnership with Youth for Christ where we do campus life. And so the last couple of years, he's been going to campus life. And earlier this year, late last year, they asked him to kind of take a student leadership role in campus life. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, yeah, totally want to do that. Want to do more. Yeah. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they asked him to start helping on Friday mornings at 7 o'clock with the middle school campus life. And it's like, all those things are so good. Mm-hmm. They're really good. For him as an individual, one really big thing about him is he loves tennis, you know, kind of like Jimmy in the basketball.
Yeah.
He sophomore, played varsity this year, did really good, had a great season, just really fun to watch. A couple nights ago, I picked him up from practice and I could just tell he was down. Mm. Just tell that he was frustrated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, what's going on? Like, did you feel like you didn't have a good practice? I watched a little bit and thought he did really good. And he was like, I'm just not getting better.
Yeah.
I'm just frustrated I'm not getting better. And I said, well, you know, like, we've got a lot going on, was kind of the, like, not a big deal. You know, we got a lot going on. Just kind of my response. And he said, yeah, I kind of went a little overboard, but he's like, yeah, I haven't played in the last month and a half at all. And I was like, well, you played in two tournaments over the last month and a half.
Forgot
plus
about
all
him.
The other stuff that you're doing, you know? And he was like, well, I'm just not playing enough. And, you know, the reality is that it's important to him. It's something that he really values, that he loves doing. And he's got all these other things going on. Mm-hmm. Every day of the week, he's got something that he's doing that is a good thing. Yeah. Is a leadership role that he, you know, I'm proud of him. I want to encourage him to do, but at the same time, he's 15.
Yeah.
Jimmy's 13.
Yeah.
Like,
already experiencing this.
Yeah. So, great job defining overcommitment, kind of talking through what it looks like practically, but why is being overcommitted something we need to be concerned with?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think we all know the symptoms of what being overcommitted feels like. Sometimes it may take a while for us to notice the symptoms until they kind of blow up, or in some people's case, end them in the hospital at times. I've seen that happen because of people's overcommitting. But overcommitment leads to living a stressed out life. If you're, you're serving in the church, I mean, the church is full of great people and who we all want to drive the mission forward. And so we oftentimes say yes to all things, but it can easily lead us to just being stressed out, burned out. Sometimes it can lead people to just want to quit all of it and not be engaged in anything. And that doesn't help drive the mission forward at all. We need each other. The church needs each other. Our community and our world, like, they need all of us. And so if we are living overcommitted lives, then we're eventually going to just, like a candle runs out of its wick, will run out and will burn out. But another thing that I was thinking about, and you and I have talked about this before, is when you are overcommitting yourself, then you're not really able to live out your full calling as a leader.
Yeah.
Like you're not able to fully walk into who God created you to be because you're focused on too many things. You're trying to do too many things. You're trying to be too many things. But something else that leads to is you are also keeping other people from being able to live out their calling because you're trying to overcommit yourself.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. And so instead of saying yes to all of it, we like, well, is there somebody else? But those are some things that kind of come to mind with. But I think overcommitting leads us to living a hurried life. And I think hurry is one of the greatest enemies in our world today, especially in the Western culture, especially in West Omaha, Elkhorn, Nebraska. People are just go, 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 go. And there's no space in the calendar. And I think if we keep living that way, if they keep living that way, if our leaders keep living that way, then they're going to burn out and yeah. The candle's going to go out. And we don't want that for people.
Yeah.
We don't want that for the kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I have always loved about our church is how we focus on having a primary ministry,
mm-hmm.
Really having one ministry that you can give the best of yourself to. And like, I think about some of our leaders and I just like nothing brings me more joy than seeing them love what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, get mm-hmm. passion, get light up when they're doing what they're doing. And I think of some of those same leaders that over the years keep saying yes, keep taking on more. And at some point, some of them completely quit,
yeah.
Leave the church.
Yeah.
And it's one of the hardest things for me and my role. One of the hardest things that I've had to see is people walk away and, you know, blame the church, blame, mm-hmm. Just all the different things. And I get it. Cause it's like a lot of times I think, well, we asked.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a small thing. It's not a small issue. Even thinking like, you know, we are doing a podcast because, originally we were trying to equip our leaders through coming to a Saturday event.
Yeah.
And that was a lot for our leaders.
Yeah.
The feedback that we would constantly get over and over again was, I can't go to another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm leading this. I'm a part of this TLife life group.
Sometimes even our paid staff felt that way.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's, we would have conversations which led to ultimately the greatest changes that you guys have made so far in our leader equipping ministry is based upon the feedback and based upon how we felt. And we're like, hey, we're a lot of us are feeling that. I think you even were feeling that. And we're like, okay, what do we need to do to update this? Cause we don't want to burn each other out either. So,
yeah. So, one thing about overcommitment is I think that a lot of times it's easy to see in other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to think, well, dude, that person's doing everything. Like, I don't know how they function. I think personally I see that the most when it comes to like kids' sports.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that kid goes to that practice, gets home, goes to that practice, and goes to that practice in one night, and it's like, man, there is just like, it's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
But what are like some signs that we can individually look at and know like, okay, there might be some overcommitment in my life going on.
Yeah, that's a great question. I like how you kind of led up to that question because a lot of people, it's easy to point out failure in other people's lives, where they're going wrong, where they're overcommitting. We point fingers, but, that old saying where then there's like three or four fingers pointing back at you or maybe yeah. three fingers and a thumb. I don't know if you can point your thumb back at yourself, but I think some symptoms or signs, that I might be overcommitting or that anyone that's listening to this might be, overcommitting is obviously, I think the first one is your to-do list just keeps getting longer and you can't keep up with it. And you keep having to push things off to the next day, to the next day. That's, I think, an easy one. But I think some of the some of the main and growing symptoms, I think, especially in our culture, is that feeling of anxiety starts to creep in, or like panic, or you can't keep your breath at times. Like just the other day, somebody had asked for some of my time. Love the person, love what they wanted to talk about, excited to talk about or help them work through this this task and this thought process. But I started to look at my my calendar and was going to have to schedule this person out 4 weeks from now for half an hour. And now that's not that person's fault, but the thing that I noticed inside myself is it was probably a few minutes later, I started to feel my heart like beating in a funky way. And so, and I had to breathe through it, 'cause I'm like, man, like, so I know like if we're overcommitting, which maybe it's my own time management skills or lack thereof, I don't know, but, that can happen when we're overcommitting. I know sometimes if you're overcommitting, you're too, you can't really make great decisions because you're too distracted. I have, there's times in, when I have, I'm working at our computer here at work, and listening to my beats really loud so everyone else can hear them too. But I'll have to write, literally write on a piece of paper what I am working on right now. And like if I'm working on turning in receipts, I have to write in turning in receipts because I have so many things I have to do that I have to continually look down at that piece of paper to remind myself what I'm working on at the moment. Pastor John thinks it's funny and ridiculous, but I have different skills than him. And other things like people, you know, you can become irritable. Like if you're irritable because somebody asks you a simple question or maybe taps your shoulder, our impact ministry director, Corey, I mean, you know this, he'll kind of turn around sometimes, tap me on the shoulder, and I'm just like, what, you know, and he laughs and he has a great question or whatever, but maybe you can become irritable. That's a sign that someone's overcommitted. Maybe you don't remember the last time you said no. I mean, how often do we ask ourselves, when is the last time I actually told somebody no?
That's good.
That's a bad word, but it's actually a great word. But I don't, you know, I think, I don't know, like, people misunderstand that word often, but maybe you have no time to think about your time. I think all those things are kind of some signs and symptoms that a person might be overcommitted.
Yeah, so... So overcommitment's the topic. We've kind of painted a pretty dark picture of overcommitment. And so practically, what do we do about it?
Oh, man, I don't know why this makes me laugh, but it is very practical. Like, it's a. I think the solution is practical. And I think it all has to do with boundaries. You know, we think back to our capacity. You go beyond your capacity, you're crossing a boundary, that should have been set. But I think it all has to do, with boundaries. And I think people should really ask a question of like, what am I ultimately responsible for? Like when it's all said and done, whether it's in my job, volunteering in my church, in my T-Life group, just at home, like what am I ultimately responsible for? Because I think, acknowledging that helps us get beyond into the next step that we should take. But on that same note though, I also think like, who is the most important people in my life? I think those are two really important questions that we, as leaders, we have to ask, what am I ultimately responsible for? And then who is most important in my life? Now for me, I'm married, been married for 17 years or 18, 16, 17. Hopefully my wife's not listening to this.
Well, hopefully she is.
But not that part.
Hopefully
maybe
she filled up her coffee at that part.
But like, who's the most important in my life? Well, my wife, my kids, they're like my priority. Overcommitting can push them out. So like if I notice that when I'm asking that question, then that's going to help me take a next step into getting myself out of being overcommitted. But I also, I just think like to get to overcome overcommitment, if that makes sense, we got to start understanding our calendars. We got to start understanding our budgets. We have to learn how to say no to people. We have to understand, like, what has God gifted me with? What are my strengths, my talents? What am I not good at? Delegate what I'm not good at to other people, and then work really hard at what I do, what I know I'm really good at. So I don't know if that kind of starts down the path of answering that question or not, but I think we have to realize what our boundaries are, what we're responsible for, and who are the most important people in our life. And I also think there too, like, because that's going to say who we allow to speak into our lives, whose lives we're speaking into, who is investing into us, who we should be investing into. If we start down that path, then that can probably help us take next steps into kind of clearing up our own calendars and our own lives and things like that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, everyone listening is a leader in some kind of position. So they have people either on a team that they're leading or in a group that they're leading. Majority of people are a part of a family. So we've got positions there, whether it's kids, whether it's spouse, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, even if it's parents or whatever. We all have positions that you know, God's put us in. And so knowing, you know, who we're responsible for, what we're responsible and for in those relationships, you know, that it's kind of the start of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of where we're going.
Yeah, I kind of think, like, you know, one of my roles here at Relevant is care ministry and pastoral care. Yeah. And last year and years prior, I was the leader of our Connect department and our T-Life groups. And when a care need would come up, we would point people to our T-Life groups. Now that's more easier said than done at times. And sometimes those groups would point them back up the chain, you know, if you want to say up the chain, if that's who we are, but to getting Relevant Community Church as a whole to do something for that care need, which the TLF group is part of, Relevant Community Church as a whole, and is our best and number one care network. But it was easy for me to want to take on the responsibility of that, I'll just say, problem or issue, when we have like 12 people that are in that same group that could easily address that. Now, are they fully equipped? Do they always feel confident in how they help people? Maybe not, because I know that I don't always feel confident in how I'm helping people, or is this going to work? Is it not going to work? But I think that when it comes to our relationships, like, if somebody knows somebody else and they can handle the issue, or they can invest in the person this way, that helps us as leaders not overcommit ourselves to handling those problems that somebody else can take care of. So,
yeah, I mean, so often we think about, like, the tasks that we have. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to think about what are you responsible for when you think of your tasks. I have to get this job done. I have to get this job done. Well, one of the first things when you said, you know, what am I ultimately responsible for? One of the first things that came to my mind was our role as pastors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're both department directors. We have departments that have tasks, that things that need to get done. Well, you know, it's like, well, what is our role as a pastor? What are we responsible for? Mm-hmm. And it's super vague. It's super like huge. And it's, you know, shepherding the church, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, well, how do I do that?
Yeah.
What does that look like? And, you know, and I, this last year, I've kind of wrestled with that a lot, thought that through. And I'm like, you know, my ultimate role, what I want to be focused on, and it'll guide, you know, my decisions, what I commit to, things like that, is I want to be responsible for pushing people towards Christ.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately that's what I want to do. And so it's going to determine, well, do I say yes to this? Do I say no to this? You know, because I want to, when all's said and done, I want to know that I used my time the best that I could. I was the most effective that I could, and made a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think. More thing. We kind of talked about today, but I don't want to forget. I mean, before I move on to anything else, I think some of us have a hard time delegating, And because delegating takes a lot of work, because you got to train someone else to do it. And sometimes it's quicker just to do it yourself. But if you have to keep doing that task yourself, you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not training somebody else to do it. Like, I love everything about people. I could sit in front of people. If Ronnie would give me a job here to where all I had to do was just drink Starbucks coffee in front of somebody else and just talk back and forth for 90 hours a week, like, it would be the best job ever. I think I've actually told him that. He still has yet to give that to me, but but I would love that. But I think, like, we have to know what we're good at and what we're not. I know I've said a little bit about that already, but when you're not good at something or something exhausts you, well, then find somebody where that brings them life and let them do it. One of my biggest things this year, it's not like the word of the year, or word of the day or anything, but it's how can I find someone who enjoys doing that thing? And then I will invest my time training them into it because it pays off in the end. As exhausting as it sounds to train someone else sometimes, like, it brings life on the other end. You just got to get there. And so that was something that I was thinking about too before we continue conversation.
Yeah, it makes me think of when I first became a part of Relevant, took a job. I remember Ronnie saying over and over again that, like, my role was to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, that comes out of Ephesians 4. And that's always kind of stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like, my job isn't the specific tasks. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so, I mean, so many different directions we could go with that. But when you think about delegation, it's not just like, my job isn't to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, we're, as a church, like, we're doing a lot more than just getting jobs done.
You're like, I think a lie we believe is, oh, I'm the leader of this now. I'm the coordinator of this now. Now I have to do it all.
Or I have to make it happen.
I have to make it happen. And it's not the case. Like, even in TLife group leadership for the TLife groups, one of the things that we did in my group, and it was funny, I always told people, at that time, I'm like, I oversee TLife Group's ministry, but I probably have the worst TLife group there because of my own leadership. But
hopefully the people in your group aren't listening.
Yeah, hopefully they're not listening. They were amazing people, we are still connected to each other, and we just were in each other's lives. But one thing that I started to do was, I'm like, I got to delegate responsibilities. Like, as a leader, it's not my job to care for everyone. It's not my job to run to every fire. It's not my job to teach everything. It's not my job to coordinate the snacks, you know, because you always got to have the food there. But, like, I would divvy up different tasks in the group. And now they're enjoying it. They have buy-in.
Yeah.
And I'm not overcommitting and not sometimes on that Thursday evening dreading continuing my long day.
It's actually freeing.
It's freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other people have buy-in and they're engaged. And so,
yeah, that's good. So we said that basically, what do we do about overcommitment? It all has to do with boundaries. And so, Jimmy, how can our leaders create boundaries in their own lives?
Oh, the very first thing that comes to my mind is, and I don't know if we're allowed to do this on a podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I don't know what you're going to do, so I can't tell you if you're allowed or
you
not.
You can cut it out if it's not allowed. two of the best resources that somebody gave me they're books, because, you know, I read a lot of books more than Pastor Matt.
That's good.
I don't know if I read as many books as you, but anyway. Enough of that. But there are two books that I had read in my life that really opened up, I guess, the freedom that I have to live in my calling, who God created me, was the book called Boundaries. I think the book Boundaries is written by a guy named Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, I think, if that's correct. But the book Boundaries kind of set me free of a lot of bondage, I guess, to overcommitting to relationships, especially overcommitting to tasks and things. So that would be a bonus first step. And the other book is Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. I always recommend this book. I'll recommend it to everybody to read. But those two books, I think if you read right before I tell you what I'm going to tell you now, of what I've done in my life, I think it would be super helpful, impactful for people. But I would say, you know, Pastor Ronnie's really good at always having like three great steps. I don't know if I have three great steps.
That's okay.
I hope to be like him someday, including his muscles. But I would say get time on your calendar to think about your time and your calendar.
Wait. Say that again, because it sounded like you might have repeated yourself.
Well, leaders are repeaters, and so I will repeat myself. But I would say get time on your calendar to think about your time and your calendar.
Okay.
Now, a knee-jerk reaction is, I don't have time on my calendar to do that. Well, cancel something. Like, you have the power to cancel anything you want to cancel. I love those shows where this doctor or counselor or even pastors will walk out like, clear my calendar for tomorrow, I'm done. Like, I like to do that sometimes.
I think I'm going to start doing that in the office every day.
Just try.
I don't have anybody to.
I'll celebrate
you. I'm the only one who can clear it. I don't have a secretary or anything, but I'm just going to clear my calendar.
Clear my calendar, you know, and maybe somebody will do it. I'll walk over there and do it for you if I have to. But get time on your calendar to think about your time in your calendar. Something Pastor Ronnie is always telling us in our office here is you need to know, when do you work and when do you not? When do you work and when do you not work? And then when you're working, what are you working on? When is your mind able to green light certain tasks and projects, and when is it not? And then rearrange your calendar in that way. That has been like super helpful for me. And he goes, and when you're not working, what are you doing? And only do the things that bring you life or, that you know are the most important things. And so,
yeah, that's really good. When I think of boundaries, well, number one, I don't like the term. Yeah. It sounds like things that I'm not supposed to do, or like my wife used to always tell our kids off limits because she didn't want to yell no at them. Like, boundaries are things that,
I like that. I'm going to use that. Off limits.
Yeah, I remember her just all the time. Off limits. but I mean, you think about boundaries, and they're like, man, they're places I can't go. Things that are really, really bad. And truth is, there are like things that we do, things that we're working on that we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And we need to just set a little guideline, little boundary, just saying like, I don't need to work on that. I don't need to do that. I don't need to spend my time doing that. And it's not a big, huge, like wall that if we go over, death is on the other side. It's a thing that for the most part looks like, oh, that could be good.
Yeah.
But you know, setting those little boundaries, just what we work on, what we spend our time on. It can be at work, it can be at home of like, well, you know, I have a Saturday. I have about 42 things on the honey-do list that I'd like to get done. You know, I'm going to try to do all of them at the same time is typically my response.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's, we want to do things and we want to get stuff done, but, they're in that book, Soul Keeping, I mentioned a minute ago, there's a statement in there that says something like, arrange your days so that you experience total contentment, joy, and confidence in your everyday life and with God. And I just remember reading that for the first time, and I'm like, oh man, I got to work on my calendar. And so I actually went away for 2.5 days by myself to some cabin to just work on my own calendar. And was it perfect in the end? No. And I continued to make adjustments to it, but I'm learning about how I work best. So I think like the second thing I would say, and maybe I've already kind of said it, but you know, after you've got time on your calendar and you've made time to think about your time and your calendar, then be okay making the changes you need to make the most important things, the most important things, like just start heading in that direction. Like, what am I ultimately responsible, or who am I ultimately responsible for? And then gently cut out the rest. Don't just, like, if it's people, don't just cut them off. But because that's not good for a pastor to say, I guess. But like, cut the rest, or delegate the rest, or redirect the rest. And this obviously will probably lead you to conversations, sometimes hard conversations with family and friends and maybe your leader or your leaders if you're leading other people. But starting to set boundaries with them that sometimes you don't even have to tell them you're setting a boundary. You just kind of make the boundary and then gently turn that boat. And it'll work out in the end. I know people they get nervous sometimes of creating boundaries because they're afraid it's going to hurt other people.
Yeah.
And we're not in the business of hurting people. We're like in the business of helping hurting people. But sometimes it might happen. But it also brings life on the other end too.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, I know personally I struggle with saying no. I feel like I'm saying no to people. I'm hurting people. I'm not coming through. I want to be, you've said it before, like kind of hero syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to be the hero.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say yes to everything. And so just knowing like what I'm ultimately responsible for, what are the main things that I really want to accomplish, the most important things, help me be able to say no and be able to say it in a way that I'm confident and I'm okay with.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing that you've said to me recently is that we need to begin saying no or not yet.
Yeah.
And I love that not yet part. You know, it's not really so much a no, a hard, that is never going to happen. I can't do it. But the reality is right now I'm overcommitted.
Yeah.
And so if I commit to another thing, it's going to push me even further over that overcommitted list, or maybe I'm fully committed.
Yeah.
And that would push me overcommitted. And so, you know, speak a little bit into that whole not yet idea.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not a no, sometimes it's just a not yet. For example, this last year we went through a kind of a big change in our staff, our paid staff, here at Relevant. Ronnie was watching, all of us and is like, we are at a point where we can no longer move anything forward. We're just maintaining.
Yeah.
And, I don't know about you, but I don't like being in an environment and organization that doesn't move forward. It just maintains. Like I want to move forward. And that's what one of the things I just love about Ronnie's leadership here is he keeps us moving forward and has a vision that we're all going after. But we were kind of like, we're stuck and we couldn't move anything forward because we were over capacity with tasks and duties and delegations and all that stuff. And so then we hired Daniel. He came on paid staff now, our connecting department director, doing an awesome job. And that kind of opened up the doors, but it takes a while to train people. And in the meantime, like just because we hired someone doesn't mean that everything is fixed. We have to ramp up Daniel. I took some of your work, Nick, and, half your job actually. And, you had to train me into it. But meanwhile, all that's happening, you know, Ronnie and John, they both have their tasks that they're asking of us and goals and visions and stuff that we're working after. And there was there were months of not yets. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm all for this, but not yet. And I was creating healthy boundaries. You were creating healthy boundaries. They understood those healthy boundaries. And we're finally now actually getting into that. What was a not yet is a here it is now. And so,
yeah, it's hard when you're a leader and you have someone on your team, whether it's in a work environment, whether it's a team here within the church, whatever, and you have something you want to see happen and you ask the people on your team, hey, I would love to see you play this part. And they just say no.
Yeah.
Like, wait, I don't want to say no. I'm never going to say no to my boss. Like, no matter what he asks, I'm going to say, sure, I can get that done. I can.
I don't think I'd recommend saying no to a boss. I just say, not yet, but here's when, you know?
Yeah. I love that, Jimmy. That's really helpful. You know, hopefully, you know, those different things you said, taking the time on your calendar to think through your calendar, you know, making changes that you need to make to keep the most important things, and then beginning to say no or not yet. You know, hopefully we can all do that more in our life.
Mm-hmm.
we can make those things happen, and we can create healthy boundaries so that we, you know, like you said from that book, like, so we can really live who God created us to be, live, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
You know,
really. And enjoyment is, that's the key.
Yeah.
Like, I want to enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And when I'm healthy and I have set great boundaries and I stick to them and I don't overcommit myself, I'm in a better place. My family's in a better place. Relevant Community Church is in a better place. Our friendships are in a better place. Our community's in a better place. And so there's a lot to this whole topic that I'm pumped to be a part of
today. Yeah. Well, Jimmy, I just want to say thank you for joining us today. You know, I really truly believe that your insight can be helpful to make us better leaders, to make us highly effective influencers. You know, for those who are listening, you know, I want to challenge you. Don't just listen to these podcasts and then move on. You know, stop, take time to think through, you know, what's one next step you can take to create healthy boundaries in your life. Maybe something that you feel like God's prompting you to do while you're listening today. Maybe it's something you already knew before this podcast that you needed to do. You know, maybe we can just give you the permission to say no, to create a boundary in your life. You know, this is important stuff. We want to make sure, that we take steps, that we, you know, we move forward, because great leaders are the hope of our church. We don't just want to be leaders. We want to be great leaders. Mm. So, you know, let's do it.
I'd say share it. I'd say if anytime I hear something that I love, I like to share it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And so I encourage people, like, if something stuck out in today's conversation, they share this podcast with somebody else, even if they're not a leader. That's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally okay. Yeah. This, you know, it's on Spotify. It's on Apple. What do we call it? Apple Podcasts.
Apple iTunes. Apple Tunes.
Yeah. So, you know, wherever you are listening to this, you know, make sure that you like it on that platform. You know, tell people about it. If you, you know, if you follow on that podcast, every month you'll get a reminder that there's a new episode out. We do these episodes every Friday, or not every Friday, sorry, the last Friday of every month. And so make sure you're listening. Don't forget to join us again next month for another conversation to help all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers.